Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. But Tom Fire's talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find in the town stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's my mate,
Water Toaster.
Oh, it's my mate,
Water Toaster.
Yeah, yeah, it's my mate,
Water Toaster.
Toast them all, my love.
Hello, welcome back to My Mate Bought a Toaster. This is the show where I dive into my guest's Amazon purchase history to tell their life story. And today I have selected from my many, many, many contacts and friends and colleagues, someone who I work with every single day on the 4 till 7 show on Magic Radio. It's my co-host and one of my favourite people to host a drive time radio show with, Kat Shoup.
Thank you.
As if we don't already spend
I know. Maybe we shouldn't speak to each other after this, before the show.
But it's weird because 6 months ago, we knew each other well, but obviously we've presented a show every day for 6 months, so we've got to know each other really, really well. We know loads about all the mundanity and the big things and the small things in our
and
lives.
Too much. We know too much.
But now I'm concerned because doing this, diving into your purchase history, like, this is going to be we're going right back.
Yeah.
So am I going to know too much? And is this going to affect our working relationship? Because no offence to My Mate Bought a Toaster, but my radio show really pays for the bills.
Yes.
And I don't want to lose.
What if we feel weird around each other after?
That's my concern.
I'm a bit sweaty.
And also,
I've gone glammy.
I've seen you present in many stressful situations.
Yeah.
I've seen you try to curtail and shorten a Ben Elton interview, for example.
Yes.
Which is about professionally as hard as it gets. And yet this is the thing that's making you nervous.
Yeah. This is the thing that's making me sweat. Because I don't know what I bought. I've bought lots of things.
Good.
I've squandered a lot of money.
Great. We love squandering.
Yeah. It took me ages to get a house. I just kept buying stuff. So, yeah. And this is weird. This setup for us today.
Well, it's weird because also I would never normally on the radio show sit and stare at you like this. We'd be looking at a script and we'd obviously, like, by now we've talked for too long. We should be going to a song by now.
Yeah.
2.5 minutes tops.
Yeah, here's George Ezra. I couldn't even say that. Look, George Ezra.
Can we go again? George Ezra. So, all right. Well, we're just going to dive into it.
I like this.
It's exciting.
What did I get? What did I buy? I'm sitting.
Let's find out. Now, we're going to go right back.
I don't buy mucky stuff, so I don't know why I'm worried.
It's never the mucky stuff that's the problem. It's never the mucky stuff.
I bet everyone stresses themselves, though, that they've bought mucky stuff.
Yeah.
I bet every time they think, God, did I buy that on there?
But of all the mucky stuff we've had loads of sex toys.
Yeah.
We've had condoms. We've had...
They're not mucky.
We've had lube. But they are mucky because they're to do with sex, and sex is inherently mucky.
Yeah. It's silly.
Lube feels like the rudest one.
Yeah.
Lube always feels a bit like, where do we even do that then? Exactly. Well, actually, do you know what? A revelation. We've talked about it, but I've cut it out of the show. It's happened in other episodes.
People have
bought lube and I've cut it out. That's the great thing about editing the show.
Yeah.
Can't do that on live radio.
No. You can't talk about lube on live radio.
That's the other thing as well. So as soon as
Is lube rude?
Drop us a text. 61054. Magic at the top.
You could say lube on air, couldn't you?
Rude. Yeah, you could say lube on air because
lubrication.
Exactly.
If it's a medical term.
People with no senses of humour might refer to alcohol as lubrication as well. Just lubrication, you know what I mean?
A little sharpener.
So as a word in itself, it's fine.
What did I buy?
But we're going to, look, all right, here we go. See, she's moving on. This is what happens on the radio show. Sam Delaney, Night of the Living Dad. Night of the Living Dad. This is on the 3rd of June, 2010. This is the first thing you ever bought on Amazon.
Oh, that's my good friend Sam Delaney.
See, it's okay.
Oh, phew.
There you go. Tell us about Night of the Living Dad, please.
I never read it. I was buying it to support my mate.
Yeah.
So I used to work with Sam Delaney. He was a client at KBJ, which was a talent management and a comedian's management as well. So PBJ and KBJ. And Sam was one of the clients at KBJ. And I was the youngest one there. I was like the office assistant. So all the younger clients I used to hang out with, like Simon Amstel, Anita Rani, and Sam Delaney, because I'd have to go to their recordings of stuff and things like that. And me and Sam Delaney have been lifelong friends since.
Oh, really?
Yes. And then when I left and I started presenting, he was working as editor at large of Maxim magazine.
Yes.
And someone got a 5-page spread in it.
Fun.
Not him, me.
Right, okay, fine. Did you do the Maxim?
I did.
Hang on. Wasn't the Maxim all you know, underwear.
It wasn't
new.
Yeah, it was underwear. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you do a full on underwear?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
When was that? Is that of interest? I need a date. No. How was that to do?
It was one of those things that on the day I was like, am I going to regret this?
Yeah.
And in many ways, a couple of years later, I did, because I got a gig with a channel that is very much a company that we work with sometimes, actually. But, okay. You know, they're a company that are very family.
Very wholesome.
Yeah, very wholesome.
The anti-Maxim.
The anti-Maxim. Mm-hmm. And
was it the God channel?
No. And I had... got the gig. It was me and Duncan James who were doing it.
For Blue.
Yeah, it was for Hannah Oakey. Okay. So Hannah Montana.
Yes.
Was doing Hannah Oakey, something or other like that.
Okay.
And then someone in the office had Googled and they'd found the pictures of Maxim. They weren't bad. They're nice pictures.
Yeah.
They're nice pictures. They're not in any way, but they were like, nope, we can't have this. And I lost the job.
You lost a gig? And was it that was a big relatively breakthrough gig, was it?
It would have been, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, nearly made it so many times.
I mean, I would say that was something we bonded about very early on, because I did load in FHM as well. And no, but when we first started doing this job together, the fact that both of us have had, you know, gigs where we've nearly been like, oh, this one, here
this
we go.
One. So, it's always that. It's what keeps you going.
It is, actually. You mentioned Anita Rani. My first presenting job was with Anita.
Yeah.
So weird to think that you were working at the agency then. How was that working at the agency when... you wanted to be a presenter yourself? Wasn't it frustrating?
It wasn't in the beginning because I didn't know I wanted to do that. But it was as time went on,
on. What was the presenter like epiphany then when you were like, I want to do this then?
I was watching Olivia Lee and Simon Amstel doing a pilot together. And I was like, oh, I really want to do that. I really want to do it. And I sat in the audience and I was like, And I remember sitting there and I was at the agency maybe like 6 more months, I think. And I thought, I'm going to have to go. Because I'm going to end up getting like bitter and I'm not going to do a good job. I'm not going to look after anyone's career very well, even though I loved it there. I loved it. But I thought I'm not going to have the best interest of everyone or myself.
Yeah.
So I...
That's a leap. That's quite a big leap.
Yeah.
Is it because you could see how much money they were earning?
Yeah. I was playing in their invoices.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Obviously, we're not going to mention any numbers or any names, so don't expect that, listeners. But was it when you were first working there? Presumably, as
well,
an assistant.
We looked after Kirsty Young. We looked after Dermot Murnahan. I was like,
you could see the numbers coming in.
Yeah.
And was there... Did anyone sort of say, right, this is where we do the spreadsheets, and did they sort of turn to you and go, strap in?
No. No, very much just left to get on with it.
Mm.
Yeah.
There's some big clients there.
Yeah.
Who else was there then?
Well, the comedy side, they had League of Gents.
Mm-hmm.
They had Eddie Izzard.
Mm-hmm.
They had the wonderful Noel Fielding,
yes.
Who I later became friends with, and his beautiful girlfriend as well. We're very good friends. She was my landlord at one point.
That's completely random. So Noel Fielding's, is it girlfriend or wife?
Girlfriend.
So Noel Fielding's girlfriend was your landlord.
Yeah, she's a radio presenter too.
I knew this would happen, that we'd do this.
Mm.
One item, and I'm already finding out about 60% more things about you in one conversation.
Me and Sam Delaney are still very good friends. We're still really close.
Okay.
He recently has bought another book out called Sort Your Head Out, which I bought and have not read to. It's a theme. It's a theme.
Supportive thing. It's fine. Do you know what, though? It's a theme here, but it's a theme on the show every week. People buy books.
I can't believe that was like the first thing I bought. That's really, that's kind of cute. I like that.
But it's nice that, so here you are, this is in 2010. Sounds like you've got a nice set around you, nice people.
Yeah.
It's all sort of like,
yes.
You know, you're surrounding
2010.
Yourself.
So I'd been doing radio for 4 years by that point. So I was presenting.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Fine.
But so I'm still mates with Sam.
So when did you leave the KGB?
KBJ.
KGBJ. BJ for K's BJ. When did you leave K's BJ?
I left
this
there.
This is what you can enjoy on the 4 till 7 show every day.
I think it must have been 2004.
20 years ago, mate.
Yeah.
Scary that, isn't it, Heather? The phrase 20 years ago was not one I used.
Yeah.
And in the last few years, you started using quite a lot.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
That's quite a... How old were you when you...
20. It was my 21st, actually. Just after my 21st, I left.
Okay. So that was your university, because you didn't go to uni, did you?
No. Very much lived it, going to watch comedians do their gigs and watch TV shows be made, drinking warm wine and eating cashew nuts.
Oh my God.
In the green room.
Very healthy. Protein and fruit. It's really all you need. it's interesting as well to have that moment. I remember it very, very clearly, watching someone do, in your case, it was Simon and Olivia Lee, who's done this.
Who I know, who's lovely. Oh, she's God, wonderful.
Watching those gigs and going, I could do this. Like, I was watching stand-up and I would be thinking, oh, I'd say that now. And I know that's funnier.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And it was that urge. I was like, oh, I probably need to do this.
Yeah.
Was it a similar thing?
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. Yeah, I was watching them host it. I didn't think, oh, I could do that. I was thinking, I really want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know if I had it in me to do it.
Yeah.
But I knew I wanted to do it. And I knew that I would not be happy doing what I was doing. And I'd get stuck. And I'm very impulsive. My mum knows this. If I want to change the colour of my hair, I'll go and do it. Or if I want to do something, I get an urge to do something.
Right.
I will just do it.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Noted. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. At ToasterPod is the name we're trying to jam. It's simple like a sarnie filled with cheese and ham. At ToasterPod, at ToasterPod, at ToasterPod, I swear it's not a scam, I think. 9th of February 2012, you have bought... This is the next thing you buy, by the way. Having bought your mate's book.
Yeah.
We now skip 2 years.
Right.
During which time you're doing radio, you're working...
Yes, yeah.
What are you doing on radio?
What year was it?
2012 now.
What year?
Olympics year, that is now.
2012. Yes, yeah. I was doing cover on Capital Breakfast.
Nice.
I was doing the Big Top 40. I was doing the chart show.
Great.
On a Sunday. And yeah, I think that's all I was doing at that point, just doing cover on Capital. Doing
that's
lots of cover.
Not loads in terms of A, earning, and also B, in terms of like time. Because you do your show once a week.
Yeah.
What do you do? How do you fill your time when you've got that sort of...
Well, I worked in a pub.
Oh!
I did. I've never been shy of working. And
no.
I don't mind at all.
Yeah.
I hated not being busy.
Yeah.
And so I worked in a pub. I lived near Primrose Hill at the time. And I worked in a pub called the Lansdowne.
Right.
For a couple of years. And I ended up serving one Sunday... not one Sunday, sorry. I ended up serving the boss of our sponsor on Big Top 40.
And they recognised
you. And he was like, what are you doing here? And I went, I just don't want to be bored. And he goes, do we not pay you enough? And I was like,
Well,
not really,
I
no.
Think the answer's in the bit which says,
I'm working
tip
in
there,
a
please.
Pub. Yeah.
Wow.
And then, yeah, I got him a very expensive bottle of wine. I didn't. He ordered
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I worked in pubs in between because I just didn't want to, even though I was doing like a chart show that had millions of listeners.
Yeah.
I just didn't like not working.
It's a long time because we've both had weekend shows on the radio
yeah.
and I've had stand-up and stuff and other bits and bobs, but still, it's a long time from week to week to not really do anything.
And once I'd started in radio, the telly stuff dried up, so I started doing telly.
But what was the telly stuff then?
The Mint, late night ITV quiz shows, which was like this cult viewing at the time.
Yeah.
And so I'd done that. And then when I headed into radio, it was 5 nights a week. And all the ITV stuff, I was invited to the parties. I could never go to them because I wasn't allowed to take time off.
Right.
And I couldn't do it anymore because I had a proper 5-night-a-week job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that all dried up. And then I was like, ooh, I didn't really have anything. I didn't have anything in between.
Pop and Primrose Hill. Famous?
Loads of famous. Gwen Stefani and her... Well, she was with Gavin Rossdale at the time and her little boy.
Yeah.
They came in. Loads of famos. God, loads of famos. Christ. I remember Nick Grimshaw coming in and obviously I was working in radio and I was just like, hey. He was like, what are you doing here?
It was on all the time.
Clearing plates.
Like, why are you here? Because radio doesn't pay that much.
Yeah.
The amazing LED star master light projector lamp. I bought a lamp. I mean, what on earth is this crap?
Oh my God, I just bought so much rubbish.
What is it? It's an LED.
Star projector.
It's called Star Master. Oh, it projects stars. So it projects stars on the ceiling.
Look. God, I'm
well, I can't click through on it because
I
do you know
I
what?
Been drunk.
It doesn't even. And if I click through, look, it's
not there. Yeah, they don't have it anymore.
It's a dead link, Kat. It's a dead
load
link.
Load of rubbish. I don't know. It's a drunk purchase, probably. There's a few of them as we go, I think.
A few drunk purchases.
Oh, my God. I bought a telescope drunk once.
That's a really weird one. I just want to see.
I just want to see the stars.
I just want to get closer to the stars.
It's because I saw a shooting star out of our window.
Right.
And it just really got me. I mean, I could have been drunk then, but I, where we lived, my landlord being Liana.
Yeah.
Noel's girlfriend. Mm. We were quite high up and there were windows all round and I saw a shooting star one night and I was just like, wow.
Wow, man.
So I
the universe, like when you think about it, it's like so big.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'm going to buy that.
Okay. So lots of drunk purchases.
Yeah.
2014, by the way, the next order. Okay. So these are quite sporadic.
God, I really didn't use it.
Yeah.
I use it every day now.
Well, we'll see. We'll see that happen.
Like multiple times a day.
Yeah.
But how did I live without it?
This is you living by yourself at this stage? Or
No, I always lived with people.
Right, okay.
So my sister and my brother I lived with, but my sister for a very long time.
Okay, living with your sister and your brother. That's just your family home you're describing.
That. I know,
that's
what that
is. The Power of Now, A Guide to Spiritual Enlightenment. This book, mate. This book. Have you read it?
No.
Oh, Kat, it's really good. This is what you need more of in your life.
I just keep buying books and not reading them.
The Power of Now is amazing, right? Because it's about Eckhart Tolle, I think that's how you say his name.
I think somebody. I reckon I must have been dating someone and they said read it and I bought it. To look
should
like
you read it? It's really amazing.
I was dating some idiot and no doubt.
It's someone who talks in question marks who reads that book.
God.
Have you ever thought about like The Power of Light Now? It's like massive.
I've still got that book.
Do you want me to give you Power of Now in a nutshell?
Yeah.
Man sits on a bench, stops worrying. End of the book.
Oh my God.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
book reviews.
I don't have to read it.
Yeah, you don't need to bother now. I genuinely, though, in all seriousness, do you know when I read this book?
Where?
When, just before we started working together, I had a gig in New Zealand doing the promo for New Zealand on Magic, and I had a 24-hour flight, and I read The Power of Now.
Did
on a 24-hour flight, and it was really good. So that's amazing, because it's like, you know, like the universe is like moving so quickly, and you're like, your mind's just full of thoughts, and actually, if you get rid of the thoughts, you can really live.
Oh, God. Okay.
I know. I got back and
I'll dig it out.
I got back and showed it to my wife, and she was like, oh fuck. The dishwasher's broken. Okay, fine. The power of a plumber.
What's the purchase history of this jokester? Stay tuned for my mate bought a toaster.
Look, we're going through the tens here, and there's not many purchases happening, Katshu.
Oh my God.
2015, nothing. 2016, oh hello. Three orders.
What did I get?
The Art of Happiness, a handbook for living.
Oh. I must have been sad.
That's written by Dalai Lama the, I believe, to give him his Yoda name. Dalai Lama the. But this is interesting,
2015?
2016.
16. So, what, 8 years ago?
Mm.
Oh, I was very sad. Yeah, I was in a job I wasn't very happy in and I wanted to get out.
So at this stage in 2016, so we've gone from working at the agency, we've gone from the TV and suddenly the radio. It feels kind of, I wouldn't say chaotic, but it feels like it's great. The radio gig's a big gig, but it's a very competitive gig.
Yeah, it's very competitive. You never know whether you're going to be there from 1 year to the next. I ended up doing it for 10 years, but you have yearly contracts, so you never know.
And also sort of addressing the elephant in the room, like you are a very beautiful woman doing Maxim, makes me feel a bit sick, sir, doing Maxim and that sort of stuff, and then trying to work in radio.
Yeah.
Being the pretty girl who isn't that good or isn't that fun, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Were people pigeonholing you?
Yes, definitely. I changed my hair colour from blonde to brunette when I worked in radio because I wanted to be taken more seriously.
Well,
it's kind of, I thought that would be, make a difference. I think it might have made a difference in the beginning.
Yeah.
But
how did that must be incredibly frustrating. Like,
there was only two women at the radio station at the time, me and Lisa Snowden. There weren't women who worked in production. There weren't women, but this is not just where I worked. This is everywhere. There weren't women in radio, really. Really?
Such a boys' club.
Yeah,
certainly commercial radio is what I actually
Yes. But at that point, you know, this is like 8 years ago. Still, it was a little bit like that. It was a bit better by that point.
Yeah.
But certainly in 2006, when I started, there were hardly any other women working, you know, in front of the mic, behind the mic, whatever.
Okay,
anywhere.
So tell me the top lines there. What does that mean? How does that make it when you're on air? How does that make it when you're off air? How do you plan a career when you're in that situation and you feel like, am I only here because I look good? Or is that what their perception of me? Or do they expect me not to be fun? Like,
I don't
you're
know.
Fucking ridiculously hilarious and ridiculously brilliant. And I can imagine exactly how they were pigeonholing you then. I can just
see it. I was very much the laughter box. But I didn't know if I was any good at radio. I didn't have any, like, belief that I was any good at it because I'd sort of got into it by mistake in a weird way, but I loved it. Mm. And yeah, I didn't know if I was any good at it. Didn't know because I didn't really believe in myself. And radio is a tough industry. It certainly was then. And you're told to not get above your station quite a lot.
Uh-huh.
So there wasn't great messaging. for young women at the time, I would say. It's got better.
Could you go in to do a show and come up with ideas, or were you belittled in that sense, or was it, you know, did you feel like it was a good creative thing, or were you just very much in a kind of clinging onto my job thing?
Yeah, clinging onto my job. That one. Very much that one.
Option B, please.
Option B. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was tough. I started out with some guys that, and they won't mind me saying, Bam Bam and Street Boy, they were very notorious in radio for doing pranks and being shock jocks.
Yes.
And love them dearly, but it was their show. And I was just along for the ride, really. Yeah. So that I get.
But that's okay. Well, okay, maybe not the right word, but that's a stage in your career when you're the person, I've had that, starting comedy or acting, whatever, you're the person on the side learning the ropes. But then when you start doing things like the chart show, that's a really big gig.
Yeah.
And that's you front and centre.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I guess I just sort of, it was happening very quickly, that stuff. I was doing the evening show on Capital, then I got the chart show. It was all just happening very quickly. It was all just happening.
Were you surprised?
Yes, God, I was surprised. Really? Yes. But also just like, all right, well, let's do this. It was all very big, like, and then suddenly you're on stage at like Wembley and at the O2, and like, it's all just a lot. It's a lot.
Yes.
And I was earning quite a lot at the time because I was working a lot. Like, radio doesn't pay great, but no. I was working a lot.
Not spending it on fucking Amazon, are you? Thanks
not
a lot.
Not at all, by the looks of it. No. Well, buying books that I don't read, but yeah. It's just all a bit, yeah, it was all just very fast and I didn't really know. And I think I took a bit of time out to go, right, what do I want to do? Because I don't even know what my career is now. It got to that point. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
At which point is this then? Is this where we find you now in 2016, or is it earlier?
Yeah, possibly.
That?
Possibly around buying books about being happy.
That would indicate a certain unhappiness. So the other thing as well, which is interesting to me, but again, this is because obviously I know stuff, but we'll get to it.
Yeah.
9th of January 2016, so the beginning of 2016, you bought two Alan Carr books, Easy Way to Control Alcohol and Stop Drinking Now, The Easy Way.
Oh my God, yeah. So I have to confess, I thought it was Alan Carr, the other Alan Carr.
I love that. You're definitely not the first. What you got to do?
Because I thought this will be
a
really fun
place.
Way, because I had a lot of time in between the shows. Yeah. I was going out a lot. I was drinking a lot. There's a lot of time to be going out and partying. And I was like, I want to take a step back and I want to not drink like that. And I thought the comedian Alan Carr would have the answer.
In a funny roundabout way.
Yeah.
With some nice punchlines.
Yes. What year was that?
2016.
Mm. And so that's 8 years ago.
Mm.
So I've not drunk for about 6 months, I guess now, since my 40th. I've always wanted to stop drinking.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to stop drinking completely.
Why?
Because I hate the way it makes me feel. I hate the hangovers. I can't do them. I hate the anxiety.
Yeah.
I'm not very productive. And I think the jobs, the way we work in this industry, having all that time off in between is not great for a person who loves going out drinking and you don't get much done if you're filling your time going out, getting drunk and being hungover.
Yes.
Not much gets done.
Yeah.
So, you know, in hindsight, I've got another 5 day a week job.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know. Maybe if that had come earlier. 8 years earlier.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's so you stopped drinking 6 months ago, but this is 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And we've definitely
always wanted to do that.
We've talked about it before, and I'm like not a big drinker, so I'm always like, yeah, yeah, do it. But it's interesting that you're trying to do it there.
Yeah.
I didn't realise.
But again, didn't read it or listen to it.
No. Didn't stop drinking.
No. Didn't listen to it though, but I didn't read it.
Yeah.
I don't even know where that is.
It's funny though, isn't it?
So for 8 years, I've had that I've wanted to do it, but cracked on regardless.
If we ever interview Alan Carr on our show, we have to get him to sign that book. Can you imagine?
The comedian Alan Carr.
The comedian Alan Carr. Yeah, yeah. Don't care about the other one. Although I have been to see the other Alan Carr live, and he's not funny, but
no.
I did stop smoking.
Ooh, my big boy, a toaster. My big boy, a toaster. Shopping on lines that have been so far, my big boy, a toaster.
So you were aware. So I don't want to say like drinking problem, because that feels a bit tabloidy, but you to get to that stage where you're buying those books and you've had those feelings and yet you carried on.
Yes.
That suggests that you couldn't stop.
Yes. Or
but that's more lifestyle than...
I think, do you know what it is? I've always been a big binge drinker. Me and my friends from back home.
Yeah.
When we used to go out in Wrexham, we would go out at the weekend, it'd be a pound a drink.
Oh my God.
And it would just be mayhem. There was always one of us throwing up. There's always one of us being carried home. There was always one of us going missing. Like, it's awful. Yeah. Like, it's horrendous when you think about it. And terrifying.
Yes.
Like, we all went on holiday to Magaluf when we were about 17.
Oh, don't.
And each night, one of us would be so drunk that we'd have to get one of us home. It's almost like we took it in turns.
Wow.
It's horrendous. And so that relationship with alcohol has always been, if I'm out, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really, really going for it. And I think those books, I was trying to go, oh, I wonder if I can reset. And I can be like, I can go out for a couple of drinks tonight.
Yes.
Instead of like, I'm out and I've got to go out until last man standing.
But that, what you're describing, is the problem as it was with, as it is with British drinking.
Yes.
That
binge,
we don't
drinking
have
culture. Binge, it's drinking awful. Culture. It's horrendous.
Yeah.
And I've got friends now, still my group of mates now, in the group, it'll always be, oh God, can't remember getting home last night. One, you know, it's always been like that.
So how many times have you drunk to the point where you forget?
Too many. Loads. I don't know. I can't even tell you. Can't even tell you. No idea.
What's the most drunk you've ever been? Do you have a, or like?
Yes, there's a getting, my good friend Sam Delaney,
mm-hmm. Here he
called
is.
It my trashy Cinderella moment, where I was carried out of the box and lost a shoe and just woke up with one shoe on.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a good night before that, though. But yeah, that's me going, oh, I wonder if I can not binge drink.
Yeah.
It's just impossible. Mm. I think it's the way we learnt to drink. I think
yes.
It's probably in me. I think that's in a binge drink. I think that is part of a person. But it does particularly seem to be my Wrexham girls that I grew up, we all grew up drinking in Wrexham, where it was a pound a drink.
Yeah, but small town drinking is a big
small
part
town
of the story.
Drinking. Yeah. Yeah, because
we didn't have clubs of small town. You grew up Wrexham, north of Wales. I grew up in Monmouth, south of Wales. And we didn't have clubs in Monmouth at all.
No.
Apart from golf clubs and the Conservative Club, and which are very different. And we would go to the pub and they closed at 11:30. So it was a race. It was
yes.
a race. That was
yes.
the culture.
Yeah.
Get it down, you.
And drinking in the park. I remember drinking in the park.
Oh, my God, drinking in the park.
With a big group that we all went out with older guys as well. I say older guys, they were like 3 years older. But they had cars. And so they would always drive us about. It was just like, and I think Ladette culture was about too, so it was okay.
Yes.
It was girls drinking, getting drunk, keeping up with the lads.
Yes, that was an expression of your girl, of your feminism, was to try and be like the boys.
Was to get so drunk that you didn't know where you were or what you were doing.
Yeah,
that is, it's terrifying when you think about it, but I sort of never evolved from it. And that my drinking is very much still Ladette culture drinking.
Yes.
So obviously having a family and stuff like that, it doesn't work. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
So the only way to not do that again is to not drink.
Okay, so the bottle of wine I bought you for today.
Don't use that. I know, we'll drink that.
Okay, fine. All right, look, let's crash on through. 2017 now. All you bought in the whole year, two items. This is a very neat episode.
Oh, God,
actually.
are they depressing?
No, it's fine, actually.
Does it get less depressing?
You bought the Thin Blue Line, the complete set, and you bought Gimme, 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 the complete box set. These are great shows. These are great comedy shows. These are classics.
And we had Ben Elton in. Can you imagine how excited I was?
And Ben Elton came in the other day as well.
The Thin Blue Line, I can quote so much from it. And Gimme, 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 for me, is just one of the greatest. And you know, where I was living at the time in Kentish Town, that's where it was based, in Kentish Town, down the road.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, the house was down the road.
Also, you've got that thing that I haven't got that really annoys me, when you can remember swathes, lines and lines and lines, because we've both got a shared love of Bottom.
Yes.
The TV sitcom, not the part of the anatomy. And the number of times you quote bits of it and I'm like, I don't remember
anything.
I
haven't got one to do back.
I can't do it back. I'll just do yours again, but less good. And it's that thing. So like, you obviously really fucking loved comedy.
I loved comedy. I couldn't believe the first day of working in that agency. I got in the lift with Reese Shearsmith and Mark Gatiss.
Yeah.
I always get names wrong.
Yeah.
That's my thing. And we went up to the floor where they were. They got out and in got Vic and Bob.
Gee, and they, that's like a comedy swap shop.
They stood behind me and I remember Bob going, ooh, what am I going to have for my tea tonight? And then I just thought, oh my God, I don't know what to do. And I just froze, just completely froze and went just up and down the lift. And I was just like,
you couldn't get out of the lift.
I just didn't know what to do because they were there. And like, they were just so fantastic.
Yeah.
And I just adore Bob Mortimer, adore Bob Mortimer. Like, I've said to you before,
yes,
like,
you have.
I'd love to marry Bob Mortimer.
Yes.
And run off with him.
Yes. I think that's reasonable. I think your partner
to my
would
family.
Understand.
Yeah,
no,
I think he
it's
gets
fine.
It. I think he gets it.
Yeah.
I don't know if my son would understand, but.
Well, this is your stepfather, Bob.
I mean, he'd be really fun.
It'd be amazing.
He'd be really fun at Christmas.
He'd say really funny random things.
Yeah.
He's a genius.
Yeah.
He's a national treasure. All right, good. Okay, 2018 now, Kat. And a few more purchases. Fucking hell.
What is it?
Okay.
Oh, God, what is it?
So to be clear, you got drunk.
Yeah.
You looked at some stars.
Have you seen the purchase?
I can see the purchase, and I just want to complete the story, because I think a lot of people have heard it earlier on and thought, all right, so Kat's bought a telescope when she got drunk and saw some stars. I'll complete the story. You got drunk, right? You looked at some stars and thought, I want to see Mercury. And you spent £230 on the AZ90600 Geisker telescope.
Yeah.
You didn't just buy a telescope.
No,
like
I went
Admiral Nelson vibes.
Yeah, I went nuclear. And you know where that sat right now? In the Fulwell offices where my boyfriend works.
No.
He borrowed it. He hates the telescope. He despises the telescope. And I'm like, get that thing back. It cost me £230.
Yeah. You bought a telescope.
I just got my job at Hart then. I think I was a bit... quids in.
Oh, wow. Well, you can see because you bought more purchases.
What else have I got?
Things have kicked off.
Oh, my God.
Well, you bought there's a definite story evolving
oh,
here.
Oh, no.
You personalised chrome bottle opener.
Oh, that was for my mate Tony.
Sure.
That was for my mate Tony for her
2018.
What's that? 6 years
Don't reveal Tony's age. Whoever Tony is not their age revealed on the show.
I got that.
21st.
I got something really rude written on it. Her favourite swear word.
Oh, hang on, let's see if I can...
Can you
it? Says
see
here, it? Enter your custom text.
Yeah.
Let's what see if I can put? See what you've written on here. Or what would you most like to have on a bottle opener? Oh, it doesn't say what on it.
Yeah, it's her favourite swear word.
Go on.
Well, the C one.
You dropped the C-bomb. Yeah. It just says cunt on it.
Yeah.
That's great. Really, that's really lovely. It's heartwarming.
Happy birthday.
You massive cunt. All right, then elsewhere, you have bought the home discount 4-tier slated wood storage organiser shoe rack for £13.19.
All right.
And on the same day, you bought the West End closet drawer organising underwear storage box with 30 compartments.
Just get my shoes and my pants sorted.
You're getting yourself sorted. Shoes and pants sorted. Tick. And now back to the telescope. More time for looking at the stars.
I've never used the telescope.
Have you? How many times have you put your
eyes? I've lost all the things that go with it.
Why is it at the football offices then?
Because they used it on a shoot.
As a prop?
Yeah, for something. I can't remember what it was for. Was it for the ad doc? I'm not sure. And then so, I don't know.
If that telescope is used in the Ed Sheeran documentary, which Kat's partner made on
it's
Disney+.
It's something.
You know what? One of our listeners will find that.
Yeah.
And they'll put a screenshot and they'll tag at ToasterPod.
Yeah. Where we're going, we'll be showing that we listen to toast. Cause these lovely ass people gonna talk to the host.
He's gonna ask a couple questions.
What they're buying the most. Cause one man goddamn just likes a piece of toast.
Here we go. 19th of November 2019. You've bought the Wade Ceramics Gluggle Jug.
Oh, I love my Gluggle Jug.
Is this for you?
Yeah.
It's a green, extra large Gluggle Jug. And the famous thing about this, right, is that you pour the water out
and it's a glug and glug glug.
It's a fish. It's a big fish.
I'd been to a party with David. We'd only just met, actually. We'd got together and he'd taken me to his friend's gathering and they had a Gluggle Jug and I just could not believe it.
Had to get one.
So
partner David has appeared in your life at this point?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, it's nice. And you buy the alcohol experiment, how to take control of your drinking and enjoy being sober for good.
Oh my goodness, I was trying again. Wow, yeah.
This time as well.
What is it, a book?
Well, this is the interesting thing. You've realised that you're not reading the books, so you bought the audiobook.
Oh, my friend told me to get that.
Oh.
A good friend of mine called Ashley James, who is a presenter. She does a lot on Instagram.
Okay.
She's an influencer. She got that, and she was like, you have to get this. It's brilliant.
Okay. You got it in 2019, gave up drinking in 2023. Smashed it.
2020.
Really good. Really good.
I couldn't listen to that thing because the little speaker I had at the time wasn't working.
That's not a reason
not
to
attempt
this. But it was meant to, you did it when you did it. You gave up in 2023.
Yeah. Just after my 40th. Really went out with a bang.
Does it surprise you how much stuff you keep buying to try and
stop drinking? It does. It's interesting that I've always wanted to not drink, but I didn't know if I could. I didn't know if like it would be the end of the party.
You're right, exactly. I was going to say it's brave to do like personally because it's you're taking what you perceive of this massive pleasure out of your life.
Yeah.
But the big thing as well is like socially, because you're going to go out and see people.
Yeah.
Hey, shoes here.
And I think I was still being single and not meeting the one or not having a partner and not having that settling down feeling. Giving up drinking, going on first dates, not drinking feels horrendous. So I think I'm at a time where I'm sort of safe to do so.
Right. Yes. That's nice.
I'm happy.
Because
I've
got this guy.
And like, yeah, I think before that, the thought of trying to go out and not drink would be horrendous.
So how long were you single for before David came along then?
Well, I don't know really. 10 years, but not. I'd sort of seeing people on and off.
Yeah.
A couple of months here at a time and stuff like that.
And radio-wise, as we get towards 2020 when the big pause happens, radio-wise, because obviously 2020 is when you joined Magic and life improved immeasurably.
But, so you've got straight into lockdown.
We've got this 10 years of single on and off, and radio-wise you're working on Heart now, right? You're doing Heart?
Yes, and still doing the chart show.
Okay.
Still doing the chart show. Okay. Chart show ended. Well, it's not ended, it's still going, but me and Marv stopped doing it, and I didn't want to do Heart anymore. I was doing 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
How's that?
I felt really miserable. The hours weren't nice.
Yeah. You have a whole day leading up to it.
You have a whole day. It's hanging over you all day.
Yeah, rattling around in your head all day.
Yeah. A lot of politics going on at that time as well. Mm. And within where I was working, with the people I was working with, I just had had enough, really. Mm. So I left.
Do you feel like, what is the main takeaway from leaving that job, where sort of going back to the whole thing about being a woman in that place? Do you think it's changed, or do you think you've learned stuff? Do you think it has made a difference when you started somewhere new and you came over to Magic?
Yes, I think I came over knowing there was a very clear point. I remember when I left Heart and I was no longer doing the chart show, and I was like, I don't know if I want to do radio anymore.
Wow, okay. You were that miserable with it?
Yeah. And I was like, maybe this isn't for me. Because none of this is making me very happy at the moment. Right. And I'd met David and I knew I really liked him.
He was really rich.
He's not. I wish that had been the case.
Drop everything.
I wish that had been the case. Because then I definitely would have gone, I'm not doing this anymore. No, I was like, if I don't get another radio job, it's going to be fine. And I've always had that. I don't know what it is, but I've always had that feeling that I'm going to be fine.
Yeah.
But I don't know how or why.
I have no idea
how or why. And it's not like a guardian angel thing or anything like that. It's nothing spiritual.
No.
I just know that I'm going to be fine.
Yes.
No matter what it is.
It's a magical ingredient, that.
It's a magical ingredient of taking a leap and going, I'm going to be fine.
Well, I'd say that deep down, because I have it a bit as well. I think that deep down, through all the murkiness of so how you feel about yourself, there's a sort of knowledge that you're good at what you do.
Maybe there's a knowledge of,
I think so.
I've done this for a long time, surely there will be something. And then the wonderful Magic comes along.
Magic.
And I start at Magic and I love it.
Yeah.
And it's a relief. However, I do one show and then we go into lockdown.
Yeah, it was you. You were the reason we all had to do it. You were the jinx.
And then we were doing our shows from home, which was incredible and fun and weird and amazing.
Lucky to get in under that just before that happened.
It was so good.
It was meant to be, Kat. It was meant to be. All right, good. All right, so we've got to 2020. Okay. I'm liking the narrative, enjoying the story. Seems like it's all going fine. Let's see how many purchases you bought. So 2020.
Does it really kick
67
off?
67 purchases.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go to the beginning of the year before we get to the end, because the end of the year has revealed something. But
do I get completely mad by the end of the year with the purchases?
Well, I'd say you don't start in the most sane way. Before lockdown even happens, you bought the citrine calcite healing crystal. Less the power of
That'll
Mario,
do it.
More the power of some fucking rock. You bought more as well. Oh my God, Kat. 8th of February 2020, Crystal Tears. other healing crystals, the rough rose quartz, raw gemstones for wire wrapping, polishing and tumbling.
I said before it's not spiritual, but maybe I am a bit spiritual.
I think there's a woo-woo shoe underneath there somewhere.
I think I was just trying anything. I think I'm like, throw enough shit at the wall, something will stick.
I think
crystals, they'll do it.
I think that things like this that are on the outer edges of science, i.e. there is no science, they cash in on desperation.
Of course they do. Left my job. Mm. I was like, I knew that magic was coming up, I think, at that point. I must have done.
Yeah, you would have known by February. Yeah.
I was just starting it. I thought crystals would be the way.
Wow. 2nd of April 2020, the day after April Fool's Day, the adult men's pink Mr. Blobby fancy dress inflatable
costume.
That's
me. That was for my sister's 30th.
That makes sense.
Because she, when she was younger, she loved Mr. Blobby so much. She had take that on my walls. I had Leonardo DiCaprio. I used to kiss that poster every night before I went to bed.
Reasonable.
Like round his lips.
Was the poster all wet and saggy?
I don't know, but it definitely had lipstick on it. It's disgusting.
Yeah,
that is
gross.
Imagine your parents seeing that, being like, oh my God. Anyway, she had Mr. Blobby on her walls.
Wow. Did she kiss Mr. Blobby every night?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Because I know Noel Evans did that.
Sorry. And so for her 30th, it was in lockdown.
Yeah.
And we were living together. Yeah. And I said, I've got a very special guest for you. Obviously, it's lockdown. It's been very difficult to get him here.
Yeah.
And then I went in the room and my brother played the Mr. Blobby theme tune and out I came.
Dressed as Mr. Blobby.
Yeah.
Oh, Kat. What a moment.
Yeah, it was gorgeous.
And did you see your sister loving you for the first time in your life? She must have been so like, finally, Kat's become...
She loved me all over again.
Kat's become the person I always wanted her to be. Patreon.com/toasterpod Another book which has changed lives, actually. It's $9.99, so you splashed out a bit, and I bet you read it, the Kindle edition, The Meaning of Mariah Carey.
Oh my God, I read that back to back.
There it is. There it is. The first thing. That's the most enthusiastic you've been about anything. That and the Mr. Blobby costume. How do you sum up Kat Shoup? Mr. Blobby with Mariah Carey.
Yeah, that is me.
Why do you love Mariah Carey so much?
I think she's amazing. I think she's ridiculous. I think I met her once, and it looks like a fan meet and greet. But I was interviewing her.
Mm-hmm.
But she stood me. We went to have a picture, and she stood like this in her big heels, and she just looked at me. She went, "Don't stand under the light like that," and then just posed. And I'm like, just stood next to her, like,
"That's amazing."
Yeah, she was amazing, and I just think she's hilarious. I don't think she takes herself as seriously as everybody.
She gets the joke.
Thinks. She gets the joke. Gets she the knows. Joke. She knows.
But also, fundamentally, she's an amazing singer.
Incredible.
Her range is ridiculous.
Incredible. Incredible.
All right, The Meaning of Mariah Carey. I love that. I read that straight away.
All of it. I read it twice.
Would you recommend it?
Yeah.
Great, great, great. And then look what happens on the 31st of August 2020.
Oh, God, what have I bought now?
Vita Biotics Ultra Folic Acid Tablets.
Oh, someone starts prepping for pregnancy.
Oh, brace, brace, brace.
So what date was that?
August, the end of August 2020. So we're out of lockdown at that stage. We're actually...
End of August 2020. Yeah. So, oh yeah, I get pregnant in December.
So this is the beginning.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is where it starts.
This is where it starts.
But how long have you
been... And then baby stuff.
Yeah, then baby stuff all the way. And then that's the end of the show. So we're getting towards Christmas now, look. Oh, cats.
What am I bored?
Look.
What?
Well... You've got, this is the actual one, 15th of December 2020, $6.99 spent on a clear blue pregnancy test.
Ah! We were working together that week.
Oh my God, we were working together that week. We were covering breakfast on Magic.
Yeah.
And you told me.
Yeah, I had to because COVID was still about and I had to go in a different room.
We were in separate rooms.
I had to tell you I was pregnant because it would be so weird to say.
I just don't like you, Tom.
Yeah, I just want to be in a different room.
You smell of garlic.
So like you, David... My partner, my sister, my mum, they were the only people that knew.
That is so weird that I was in that zone. That was like the first time we worked together.
Zone.
I feel really uncomfortable in this room, guys. Yeah, I remember. And is this the test? This is the one?
That's the one. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
What did you do when you found out?
Cried. I was shaking and crying. And then I did two more tests.
Did you?
Yeah.
Each one crying.
I just necked a pint of water and I was like, I'll do another one.
All pregnancy tests should come with a packet of hankies.
Yes.
Because if
just really emotional, shaky.
Your no-guilt pregnancy plan, expecting better, why the conventional pregnancy wisdom is wrong and what you really need to know, how to grow a baby and push it out. Your no-nonsense guide to pregnancy and birth.
Yeah, that one I liked.
That is a really great title. How to grow a baby and
push it out. Yeah. Good, that one.
Look, so the 29th of April 2024, Dr. Nelson's improved inhaler.
Oh.
You bought Katshub a vocal steamer for 60 quid. I didn't realize it was 60 quid.
Yeah, they're really expensive. I don't buy much and then I just go nuts and buy things.
Like, for example, the sound bar.
Oh, that David bought that.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
It's got a subwoofer.
Yeah.
What do we talk about? Do we go with the soundbar or the vocal steamer? Let's end on the vocal steamer because I actually obviously know why you bought this.
Yes. We did a 12-hour karaoke and I just thought to myself, I've never bothered looking after my voice. It's the thing that we use every single day.
Yes.
And I keep getting ill. I keep getting sore throat. You've seen it multiple times over this past 7 months.
I've spent 7 months listening to you cough.
Exactly. Mm. So I bought that and I have still used it, but it will be one of those things I know that's going to go in the cupboard at some point and never get used again.
It looks like a big ceramic bong.
Yes.
If I'm brutally honest.
Yeah.
If
or
I walked...
something that you wee into at a festival or something.
Yes. Oh my God. There could be a nasty mix up there.
Yeah.
I'm inhaling stuff and it's making things a lot worse. Yes, it looks exactly. It looks like a festival toilet.
Yes.
But the idea is presumably it's very expensive for what is just a big pot.
Yeah, they don't have any cheaper versions either.
You just put hot water in there.
Mm. And then you just...
And then you breathe it out the spout.
You suck it in.
Okay. And did it make a difference?
It did. I think that's why I didn't... You lost your voice.
So after our 12-hour karaoke, right, which we did for Magic, we sang karaoke for 12 hours. We sang 99 songs. It was the most extraordinary experience with people like Matt Goss from Bros.
Mm.
With people like Gabrielle from Gabrielle.
Mm.
With people like Paul from Traitors from Traitors.
Yeah.
And this podcast, of course.
Yeah. Vanessa Feltz.
Vanessa Feltz.
From multiple things.
I mean, it was a crazy day and it was a wonderful day and we raised over £1 million. It was amazing. But at the end of it, I sat at my kitchen table and I genuinely nearly cried because of the pain that my throat was
in. Yes. I had no pain. No pain because of that.
You can thank Dr. Nelson for that.
I will. Thank you, Dr. Nelson.
That's amazing. Did you put anything? Did you just put hot water in?
Just put hot water in. You can put like...
lemony bits or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Invented by Dr. Nelson in the mid-1860s. Yeah. Famously, doctors in the 1860s knew everything.
Absolutely.
For the treatment of chest infections and inhalation issues.
They've not updated it, so it's still good.
Yeah.
It's still good to go.
It's the shark of vocal treatment.
I always saw singers with it as well, backstage, like if we were doing a big, you know, gig or whatever with whatever radio station we were at. Always I saw singers on those things and I was like, what are they doing?
This is interesting. Mel C's been on. She's bought one. There's a review here from Mel C.
Right, okay.
Could be. Because she, you know, she's got to look after her voice, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's the only one that can sing out of that band. So
I heard she has a steamer that goes over her bed. Just a mist.
Is that true?
A mist that goes over her bed. Music video.
Imagine if this is actually Mel C from the Spice Girls.
It might be.
If I could do an impression of her, that would make this bit so good. But I can't, so I won't. I use this when I feel a sore throat or snivels coming on. And so far, this has been what I want, what I really, really want. Oh my God. I shouldn't say that. And so far, it has worked as I am susceptible to them. Value for money, I would say a bit steep for the size. And I have the smaller version also. It cools quicker. It cools quickly, quicker than my cup
of tea.
I
don't think that's Mel C. Would she say snivels?
Mm. Very easy to use and sit quietly with for 10 minutes. And then baby, when my cold's gone... And my throat just used to feel so wrong. No, it's not me. That's me, not her. Was
and
wary.
Two become one.
Nice. Was wary of breaking. Let's try and finish on Spice Girls ill puns. Was wary. I'm going to stop smoking all those sicker cigars. Was wary of breaking the tube as its glass dropped it on my marble counter. It's Mel C, mate.
It's got a marble counter.
Once, but thankfully it didn't break up. So out of reach of children. Mel C doesn't have kids, does she? I don't think she has kids.
She does.
She does have kids. Kids, Mel C!
Yeah.
Can I click on helpful on your behalf? I know I'm in your account.
Yes!
Can I reply?
I say, are you the Mel C?
Loved your solo album.
Go on, yeah, go on. Do it. Are you the Mel C?
I don't think I can reply.
Oh.
I can report. I don't want to report.
No, don't report it.
Don't need to do that.
That feels a bit harsh.
What a showbiz. I mean, it's been quite a showbiz episode, Katshub.
Yeah.
You know, you work with one of the best radio presenters at work today.
Ronan Keating.
Thank you. You've talked about... your mates with Noel Fielding. You've talked about these celebrities coming in and out of the lift. You've talked about, you've ditched the booze and now you're living this pure life. And at the end...
I might get my crystals out again.
At the end? Right, you've got your crystals. It's all a bit Gwyneth Paltrow. And then we've got Mel C finishing us off.
Oh, what a day.
I think, do you know what, Kat? It's a vintage episode. It really is. It's a really good one. No edits required.
That's been weird.
Do you have any conclusions?
No, I feel like this has been therapy.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I should charge £70.
Yeah. I feel like I should probably read some books that I order.
Yeah, that's true.
In conclusion, I should probably read some of the things.
Honestly, read The Power of Now.
Okay, I will.
It is really, really good.
Yeah.
I know it's hard for you to read books that don't have murders in. But, you know, you're murdering your previous self. So maybe look at it that way.
They should do murdery...
murdery self-help books.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's niche.
That would be really, really good.
Yeah, I'd read that.
All right, so Cat Shoop, obviously, I mean, for God's sake, we usually end this episode by saying, oh, you can find my guest doing this and that. You can find my guest very much on the 4-7 Show on Magic and all over Instagram.
Yeah, with you later on.
With me later on. Yeah. Thanks for coming on the show. See you soon. Got to go now because we've got to go and do the show. Thanks, Kat.
Thanks for having me.
And you can find Kat on the 4-7 Show on Magic Radio. It's really, really good. It's a very good listen, especially if you have a Rajar book. That would be ideal. Thanks very much. Thank you so much to Kat Shoop. There is, as usual, videos of this episode up on our Insta account. You can go to youtube.com/@mymatebought-a-toaster and subscribe. That'd be nice. Thanks very much indeed if you get a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel, because we've got loads of videos coming up and the next few weeks are super exciting on the show. Next week, I am thrilled to be welcoming the excellent Dr. Range. Oh, I love Dr. Range. If any of you have got kids, you'll know him from all sorts of great kids' TV shows. He's like a kids' TV doctor. But he's done loads and loads of stuff, and he's got a whole exciting adventure starting as a musical theatre actor. Anyway, he did the traditional thing of coming on the show and then discovering that I go right back.
Oh, blimey, I didn't know we were going back that far.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. What a pleasing moment that is when my guests realise that. Thanks again to Kat Shoop. Don't forget to subscribe to all our channels. Stephen Merchant, that is done and dusted. It's a great episode. That's coming up in a few weeks. It'll be at patreon.com/toasterpod very soon indeed. In the meantime, all the best. Kind regards. Lots of love. Do take care of each other.
It's my mate, what a toaster. Oh, oh. It's my mate, what a toaster. Yeah, yeah. My mate, what a toaster. Oh, oh. Toaster for my love.